fine, thank you.
Good.
Sorry about the extra mess up I made with the times yesterday.
Oh, well, given that I don't know.
I sent it to the delete task
Oh, well.
You also have Mac Walbaum and Scott Dennehy.
Okay, gentlemen, welcome.
And this Tim Cole. Ethan Catch.
Ethan Catch and Tim Cole.
Hey, Ethan, how you doing?
Hi.
All right, well, we'll give it just a few more minutes, because I think I know I've heard from Phil Shepard this morning, so I assume he's coming.
He's on the call.
Oh, all right.
Caroline.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi.
Hey, Ethan, I was catching up with David Post in Shanghai.
Oh, I can't recognize the voice.
It's Mike Pelage, Ethan.
Oh, hi, yes, hi. Long time.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's time to start, so I know that Graham Dinwiddie said that he had a breakfast meeting. He was going to kind of be late. Sarah Deutsch is in transit, and she might call in from a cell phone, but she's not sure whether she'd be able to make it. I don't know if everyone saw, but Michael Frimkin's wife has been suddenly struck and ill with pneumonia, and he is having to transport her to the doctor this morning, so he will not be here. And I suppose some of our Neil Dundas from South Africa, who I think I believe is representing the CCTLD, has indicated that he will not be here due to pressing work, but he wants to remain, you know, informed of what we're doing. Jeff Newman has advised me that he is going to have to resign and have a alternate appointed for the registries. I have not received that name as of yet. I just got that email last Thursday, I believe. Who's joining, please?
Hi, this is Dan Steinberg. Sorry for the delay.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. All right. Has everyone looked over the little email of the procedure I sent around, the proposed procedure for proceeding forward? And I sent this around on November 8th, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that says we're sort of going to do a hybrid procedure. So first, before we get into substance, I guess I should stick to my own agenda and say that we'll do an appointment or scribe. Glenn, you're going to take, can you take some notes?
I'm taking the notes, yes.
How super. All right, and then let's take a roll of the attendees for Glenn. I'm J. Scott Evans. I'm the chair of the task force, and I'm here.
Ann Steinberg, I'm here.
Mike Pelage.
Ethan Catch.
Tim Cole.
Philip Shepard.
Scott Donahue.
Mac Walbaum.
Caroline Schcoin.
Got everyone? All right.
Nine people.
All right. So I've sort of already gone into the task force participation and who's there and who's not. I have sent out an invitation to the new provider, the Asian provider. The Asian Dispute Resolution Group in Hong Kong and Beijing that provides now as an accredited provider, and requested that they, if possible, appoint a provider and a panelist representative to the task force. I have not heard back from them.
Who did you send it to?
Just to their main email address.
You didn't send it to a person?
No.
Okay.
Well,
I'll contact Christopher Toe, and I'm sure they'll want to participate.
Okay.
Besides the, on your earlier email, you made a list of people who you hadn't at that point heard from.
That's correct.
Now some of those people are on the call, and you mentioned Sarah Deutsch and Neil Dundas, who have still expressed interest in being with us.
Right.
Are the other names still you haven't heard back at all from? Is that where we are?
I have not heard from Eric Zilbers from WIPO. And I think also, in sending out the message, Glenn and I identified two people that had not, apparently the mail list I had used was not the most updated list. So Eric Arantes, was that right, Glenn?
Yes, Eric Irate, who's on the names council too.
And the other individual?
Ramesh Kumar Nadarash from, I think it sounds like from India.
And I have not even contacted this person. Because Glenn had said this person was identified as the independent ADR representative, but I had heard from and talked to Dr. June Chuang Hong, identified on my list as the independent ADR expert, so I'm a little confused as to that particular.
I'm unclear by Milton Mueller's intervention as to whether he is a part of this group or not.
He is not.
Okay.
He still monitors the list, though.
All right.
I think he does that for his eye can watch purposes.
Okay.
Is there a CPR representative?
There is a CPR representative, Scott Donahue.
Right.
And Peter Phillips does not want to go forward.
Yeah, he's not going forward as the provider representative.
Right.
They certainly are welcome to select someone else if they would like to.
Right.
But
yeah, that's what I was referring to.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Jay Scott, who's the one you said that Natterish that you...
I have not contacted at all because it wasn't on the list, and because it seemed like we had a duplicate, I wasn't sure and was going to have to look in. This only came to my attention, Glenn, yesterday about 3 o'clock East Coast time.
Okay, I'll look at my notes because I know that as we were constituting the task force, it could very well be that we decided to have two, but I'll look at my notes and confirm my
email. All right. And then once we do that, we just need to contact them and see if they're willing to go forward. Dr. Hong has suggested that he will not be able to participate, but he would like his participation to be involved by looking at the final report and then making comments at that point. And given that he's sort of looking at this from an expert level, I thought that was seemed to me to be fine if he looked at the overall picture once we had gathered everything. All right. So that's an update on our task force participation. Next, let's look at the review of the terms of reference, and I'd incorporated those into my email. And those talk about the issues that we are, the identified issues in the terms of reference that we're supposed to be concentrating into looking at those issues surrounding particular bullet points, and that's form shopping, the publication of complaints and answers, appeals, reverse domain hijacking, quality of decisions, speed of decisions, procedural effect of decisions within and outside of UDRP, cost, continuity of decisions among and within panels, res judicata effect of decisions within and outside the UDRP, requirements for bad faith, i.e. domain name registration and or use. I think that's the 4C3 question. Fairness of provider supplemental rules and ability to amend the complaint. Now, when we talk about that, that's where we are. I know that Jeff Newman had early on said that we need to go back to the table and have a whole new list of terms of reference needed to be opened up again and reevaluated, given the fact that we now had the stop procedure and some other procedures that were expedited dispute resolution. But given, one, that those are very different and they address a very different issue, and two, that those will be evaluated as part of the GTLD evaluation task force because each has slight variances that were part of a proof of concept, I think that will be handled. But nothing stops us from pointing to one of those if we think it has features that address some of the issues that are identified within the terms of reference we have before us as a comparison or as an analogy or to show how it's an improvement. But what I want to then go to is talk about the purpose of this task force, because this is sort of a blended task force. I want to emphasize that under the new regime, and we're sort of blending this in with the new regime, our task force duty is merely to intake information, analyze that information, and present that information in a report to the community and to the board. It is not to make decisions.
I thought it was to make recommendations.
We can make recommendations based on what we, after we analyze everything, we believe that there's a call for within the community. But we have to have clear consensus in order to make a recommendation. Otherwise, we have to just give the different points of view.
Okay, well, this is Scott Donahue. As I understand it, where we were, I don't know if you know where we were, but we received some questionnaires.
That's correct.
There was some preliminary analysis done. Those questionnaires were from one website. Apparently, there was another website that received a completely different batch of questionnaires.
That's right, and that
which I have never seen.
Well, Carolina Coin sent them out to the list, I would say, in July, because I have a copy of them. But what I would like to do is I'd like to recirculate the charts that were prepared by the various members of the task force early on and Caroline's chart, and I want to have one group of people that looks into assimilating that information into some point of our report.
There was, as I recall, there was only one set of questionnaires that were circulated, and one response to questionnaires no one saw.
Well, as I under the things I have in my mailbox, Scott, is I have a group of reports where Caroline had assigned various questions, responses to certain individuals, and I received reports from those those individuals, and that was from the DNSO website. Those were the questionnaires taken in.
I think what Scott is referring to is that we were told ICANN was also collecting.
And they did, and Caroline Chacoin put those into chart form, and I have a copy of that, and I'll be glad to recirculate that.
No, just I think there's where you're wrong.
Okay.
What you got was a DNSO, because when I ended my term as Names Council, the Names Council, you know, had a resolution or whatever of what our role was supposed to be. We had not received ICANN's version, which is essentially the same questions. It was just for format reasons. For whatever reason, they had to put it in a different format. And so we had not received those, and so I was basically told that, you know, that we were just finishing up what we had already had. So the group has never seen the responses.
Okay.
ICANN questionnaire, because it's essentially...
Okay, so what we've got here is a summary. What you did is you took all the input that everybody had done, and you made a summary of the DNSO.
Right.
Okay, so that's what you sent on July 9th.
Right, but no one has reviewed the ICANN.
Have we ever received them from ICANN?
Yeah. Oh, I'll look at my...
Because I never got them. If I got
I
them,
never got them. I, none of the
they're buried
none of the
in
other
my email.
Program members got them.
Okay.
I'll go through mine.
That's an identified thing that we need to do. Is we need to look at those responses, and we need to have those responses analyzed as well. Now we've already looked at those, and I'll be happy to circulate the reports I have, including Caroline's summary of all the DNSO. But that's one group of people I would like to do. Is I would like to have them put those together. Another group of people I would like to look at the various papers that have been presented to us. Milton Mueller has presented a paper. Michael Geist has presented a paper. I think INTA has presented two responses to various papers. I think Michael Frumkin has put forth a paper. And I believe there may have been some other papers that have been submitted.
This is Scott Donahue. I put in a couple of papers. But I guess the question I have is, if we're merely supposed to be number gatherers and summarizers, why were we appointed to represent constituencies and chosen for supposedly expertise? I mean, it seems to me that as far as summarizing questionnaires, I could have my secretary do that.
Well, I certainly agree with that, but this is a consensus-based organization, and the Names Council is not supposed to make policy. It's supposed to take from the community what that policy should be. You were put on this group because we wanted to, as I understand it, the Names Council wanted to make sure that every group involved in the process had an equal voice in helping manage the gathering, so that no one would feel like there was some sort of capture and that there was one or more political agendas being advanced and others being left out of the process.
Well, nobody, as far as I know, maybe I'm... I don't believe that anybody had any real input into the questionnaire questions. Well, that's not true. We did talk that around.
I did.
That's great. Well, we did. We talked that around extensively. But I thought we were supposed to make recommendations based on what we thought as a group was the best policy to follow. But
we certainly can do that based on where we see there are areas of general agreement where there. From the, if we want to use the survey as an area of an identified agreement where we see there needs to be some sort of change, because I don't think except in certain instances do we ask for an outline of what that change should be, and we can make those recommendations. But then that report, once we make those recommendations, are then going to be subject to the community's input from the various constituencies, and at that point, that's what we have to document, and we have to say. And then we have to present that with our recommendations, and here's the response we received to that in our final report.
Right.
Okay? But that's the point is we're supposed to sort of gain clues because I do not believe in any sense would our questionnaire be seen as a statistically significant survey. I mean, it's very difficult to do the type of survey we did and make it. We don't have the funds, the time, or the energy
to satisfy every statistical attack that the survey could take. It's basically to just get a snapshot from the people who chose to participate what their views are.
Actually, I think that's documented in the minutes. We specifically decided to not have it.
Can you speak up, whoever that is?
It's Dan Steinberg here. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just pointing out that I'm pretty sure it's documented in the minutes that several calls we specifically decided to not be statistically significant in the survey and just be gathering when we do.
That's right. And we have other submissions as well. We have the papers as well. Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of good, I mean, I've kept them, at least emails of things that, you know, are like you said, because these people that are on the task force have a particular expertise in this area where, you know, there are several emails of good issues or possible reforms that came out of members that didn't come out of the survey.
That's right. And I think that what I'd like to do is take this information and by December 15th have put forth what we've gleaned from those, from the papers that have been presented to us and from the survey.
Well, I think that, this is Scott, I think since we have such a long time lapse between the time that we initially did this and now, I think we ought to have a listing of all the current papers that are pertinent.
Absolutely.
Including the ones that have come in since. There have been some studies. I don't think the Max Planck study was completed at the time that we...
No, but it has been. It was forwarded to the task force.
No, I understand that, but there may be others that we would like to consider that we don't have or haven't had at that time.
Right. And I'm not going to go out at this point. We don't have time, in my opinion, to resolicit. I'll be happy to, you know, this is going to be a public list, and if people want to submit things at this point, they certainly may.
Okay.
I'm just going to go to those that have been identified to us. If there are others out there and people know of them or have certain lists that you would like to solicit them, fine, but that's not going to be my job. We've got enough material to deal with in a short amount of time as it is.
Well, and I think those studies really do come from, you know, really kind of the two camps anyway. I mean, I think there's a good balance of
right.
of views, so I would be hard-pressed to think we're going to miss much.
Right.
Carolyn, this is Mac. The interesting thing is, are there more camps than two?
I don't know what two camps are being referred to. I think there are a multitude of views on a lot of issues, and, you know, I don't see that there are two camps.
Well, I would say that those of us that have been involved in this debate for the last 8 years would say that there basically are two camps on the large issue of the UDRP. There's one camp that believes the UDRP is an efficient dispute resolution model. And there's another camp that believes it is an aberration and an expansion of trademark law beyond its territorial bounds. Now, that's basically it. Now, if you want to drill down...
There's a lot of views in between that say...
Right.
It's a good model, but there are a lot of things wrong with it.
Well, and that there are a lot of people that say that about the U.S. Constitution as well.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
Scott, this is Pelage. I guess the if you could, maybe the one camp, I guess in the middle, would be some of the postings that I think John Berryhill has tried to point out with maybe some of the supplemental rules, some of the inconsistencies.
That's correct.
And I think that's an important thing because if we just focus this on it needs to stay, it needs to go, and
but
we sort
if
of,
you notice, that's the reason we have these bullet points.
No. And I'm just, again, the only reason I wanted to raise that for the benefit of the other participants is I've been trying to get some feedback from registrars, under the current rules. Just to show for the benefit of the rest of the people on the call, there has been some changes. Under the original UDRP that was under an RRP environment, the registry the dispute providers had to contact the registrar of record to verify the registration information.
Right.
We now have a number of new registries that are operating on a FIC registry, and in their contracts say that the information stored at the EPP FIC registry is authoritative. So some registrars have come to me and said, well, hey, can, you know, in info and biz, instead of, you know, us having to field inquiries, can, you know, the providers just go to the authoritative registry?
And I think that that's an excellent point, and that is something that needs to be changed because it needs to take place. It needs to affect marketplace reality.
And again, I think that's the one thing that I'm going to be trying to, I guess, trying to advocate is trying to get down to the day-to-day nuts and bolts of how these processes play out, as
right.
opposed to the higher philosophical argument
right.
of whether it's a good thing or a bad thing.
And I think that that's what we need to do. That's the reason we need to stay focused on the bullet point list that is in the terms of reference.
Can you indicate what your time frame is?
Yes. If you'd looked at my email that I sent out on the 8th, in that email I stated that I would like to have a that my first proposal is that we aim to have a preliminary report consisting of analysis of the survey results in the various papers which have been submitted by December 15th.
That's a very aggressive timetable.
Well, unfortunately, under the ICANN processes that are now coming into place, everything is an aggressive timetable. The new PDP is 90 days.
J. Scott, how many papers are there? Do you know?
Like I said, I know there's the Max Planck study. I know there's the Geist paper. I know that Professor Frumkin has a paper. I know that Professor Mueller has a paper. I know there are two IMTA responses to that. And Mr. Donahue has just said that he has submitted two papers. So right there, that's about, I would say, in the realm of about 10 papers.
Right, okay. So I mean, I suppose each one of us could take, I mean, we're all obviously free to read all of them if they haven't already.
Well, I know, for example, Ethan Cash has written two or three papers that I think are relevant. But
Ethan, did you submit those to the task force?
No, not yet.
Okay, would you do so?
Absolutely.
Okay, and now we've got up to 12. But this cannot be a process where we continually go on, it just never ends. I mean, professors are constantly looking for articles to write and finding new and wonderful areas of critique that they want to display on the international forum. We cannot just hold ourselves open. We'll never have a deadline.
No, Scott, I appreciate your taking us over and doing this. I think it really needed to be done. I guess a lot of us are speaking out of the frustration that this thing started, what, 2 years ago?
No.
And nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened, or very little happened, and then all of a sudden we have a deadline of less than a month. And it just sort of, it's a process that is mystifying to me.
Is there something that ICANN is looking to us that you've chosen?
No, it's just the Names Council. I'm sure I could go to the Names Council and push this back to our January meeting, and I have no problem doing so if that's the consensus of this group, that needs to be where it is. But we're taking a tremendous amount of criticism from some of the academic community because nothing has happened.
Well,
unfortunately, like some of our critics, many of us don't have private foundations that pay us to do this work.
But they'll criticize even if you take the work forward, Scott.
That's
Tony Harris here.
You're right, Tony. It doesn't matter what we do.
Yeah.
So I'll be glad if it's consensus that, given the amount of papers that we have to review and the fact that we still have not really reconstituted the task force for, you know, missing members that have not, their groups are not represented, and we still need some time to put those together, I'm more than happy to do so, and I can send an email to the Names Council and report that, given this, we've decided to push back the date to this. But I think once we get comfortable with what that date needs to be, and what those guideposts are going to be, we need to not push it back again.
Okay, well, I guess the thing would be is let's figure out, I guess, what you think we need to do.
Yeah, I agree. Then we can see how much time it's going to take us.
That's right. I think that we need to look at not this or all of the survey results from the DNSO website, but maybe look at Caroline's summary and each of the constituent summaries that Caroline drew from. I think we need one group that does that. Then I think we need a group of people, or maybe the entire group, since there are so many papers, to take a paper and do a summary and analysis of it, divided in maybe an objective area where it just kind of summarizes what's being said, and then if they want to do a subjective analysis of it based on their experience and expertise, that's fine, but I want them clearly divided. I don't want it meshed together, where it's very difficult to see that we're getting more editorializing than actual facts about what the article is about.
May I suggest that what we do initially is that we compile
a list of the total number of what would we call it, subsummaries that Carolyn eventually summarized, so we know what, how many we have on that and who the people are, and it may be so that none slip through the cracks, because again, I don't know, Carolyn may have everything, but it's been such a long time.
Right.
And also the same thing on the papers. We collect the names and groups of papers, so we make sure that we know exactly what we're confronting before before we start. And then I think we could just divide up into groups.
And
I'm perfectly willing. This is Scott Donahue. Whatever you assign, Scott, I will take.
Okay.
And so, you know, once we know what the universe is and what you've assigned, I think then we have a better handle on it.
That's a super idea, and I think that's what we can do. Caroline, can you and I work together to do that?
Yeah.
Caroline and I will put together a list of the resources that we know that are available and the things that need to be done with those. And then we will then, from that point, we can decide how we are going to move forward on a timeline basis, keeping the fact that you need to review my email of November 8th, because whatever date we decide as our preliminary report, then we're going to have an entire timeline, the keys off of that date.
Right.
And you need to read D and E, because I pulled that out of the new policy development process and sort of modified it, extending some of the deadlines and changing some of the language so it would fit in with our particular specific task force. And then we can make this presentation to the Names Council in their call on the 15th of December, and even if it's nothing more to give that we've done these things and here's what we've done and here's our timeline, a hard timeline, I think that then we will have shown some progress. So now let me find my agenda again. I think Scott, your idea is an excellent idea. I think, Caroline, can we try to have that done within a week?
Yeah.
So that we have circulated within a week a list of available resources. And, Scott, I would also invite you, if we get that list and you see something that is missing or you see something that we need to know about that's not on our list, or anyone else, Ethan, anyone, that you bring that to our attention, so that we can get that on our list should it need be there.
Carolyn, the list should include not only one guy's but two guys' papers and the Mueller book, Ruling the Root, where chapters 11 and 12 talk about UDRP and the criticism of the UDRP.
Right, which is probably an extension of his earlier paper, and I think he has two papers as well, or two versions.
There were a number of responses to his papers, too, that were not extremely long, but were...
Right. I know of one was from INTA. I don't know of anyone else's. I know they responded to the initial Geist paper to the initial Mueller paper.
Well, I know I responded to the initial Geist paper, which caused paper number two to be written.
Okay.
But J. Scott Inta responded to two Geist and one Mueller.
Okay.
But I had a question, Caroline. Are you comfortable that you have, like, these, what are the 300 ICANN survey responses?
Yes, I've got them in my email. Actually, I just forwarded them to J. Scott.
Okay.
Yeah, so I, as much as I may have faded off in the distance, I kept good notes. So,
and we'll get those and we'll divide that up, and then we'll get a summary. And then I think what we need to do is what I'd like to do is be able to coalesce those areas where there seems to be both from the academic community, all right, and the legal community, issues that seem to be repetitive, and if there are those that you can match with the survey results, and put those in one category, and then put into a category those that only the survey results pointed out, and then those into a category or the ones that only the academic community did, and then maybe another category would be those, Mike Pelage, that just for realistic purposes and advancement of technology and change of business models that need to be done as technical amendments.
I have a question for Glenn. Is it possible, in terms of the ICANN website or wherever this is going to be, where we can centrally put that, you know, the list of the links of those papers and likewise the survey, you know, results and things, so that everybody on the committee can go to that one place and get them rather than, you know, have to find that last email that had the links?
In other words, because we have a repository in the DNSO website that would just be links to papers we're considering and the survey results.
Right.
Glenn?
Yes, that's quite possible. If somebody can send me the papers, I'll get that up on the website as soon as possible.
Okay. And
all
then, basically, I want to be clear on the papers then. What we're trying to do is we're reading the papers. The papers are probably going to identify one or more issues
mm-hmm.
that either, my guess is that there's something either wrong or right about the UDRP. And then, obviously, there's going to be reasons why
mm-hmm.
propose that issue or recommendation. And
mm-hmm.
so our job is really just to spot the issue as being one that might need reform and then perhaps summarize at least why that author felt.
That's right, a factual presentation. If you feel compelled to go into an analysis and a subjective analysis of that, of why you think it will or will not work based on your expertise, I want that separated out and clearly identified as just that.
Okay.
I don't want it mixed in to an overall report because then it becomes more, I don't know, it's difficult for me as someone who hadn't read the paper to know what is hyperbole and opinion, although I may choose to believe one way or the other, but given that I am identified as a person who has a particular position, I don't want to have to get into all that politics. I just want to be able to look at it and say, okay, and if you want to do the hyperbole, I'm more than willing to read it.
I think in our original summaries, we merely summarized.
Right.
So that, we did not interject any opinion.
That's right. And I'm talking about now about more about the academic.
Okay.
Because they usually sometimes give solutions as well as identify problems. And that leads into a more subjective thing than just survey responses, I think. So that's what I would like to do. So for our timelines, we sort of have merged in my agenda, Division of Labor and Assignments, saying that we really don't know until we know the universe, as Scott put it, how that should be divided up. But we do know that our timeline and stages for progress, again, needs to be known until the universe. And it's my feeling that there's a consensus among this group that my December 15th timeline, given the amount of materials we may have to do, may be overly aggressive, and we may need to rethink that. Is that correct?
Yes,
I believe that's true.
Okay. Now, so what I would like to do is to say within a week, Caroline and I will have tried to identify that our universe of information, so that then we can then, our next stage would be is to then I would like to decide a timeline and then do a division of labor and have people take assignments. Is that a good
that sounds
idea?
Fine.
Okay.
You don't want us to do anything in the interim?
In the interim, I would like those of you that feel like there may be papers that we're not aware of that haven't heard it mentioned today to provide that information to us.
Sorry, I just got disconnected.
Another thing that I would also ask you to do during the interim is troll through your mailbox and try to identify any of this information you already have and segregate it out so it's easily identifiable for yourself. If you haven't received Caroline's summary, I'll recirculate it. I've identified it and review that. That's a summary. What she did is she took all of the segregated charts that everyone did for the DNSO responses and sort of summarized it into a summary chart. All right? I would like to have a conference call about 10 days from today. And the reason I'm saying is 10 days is because that's 7 days for Caroline and I to circulate the pool of information. Gives everyone about 3 days to sort of digest it. And then we can get together and have a call so we can decide what our timeline is going to be.
I'm trying to
during the interim, I'm going to try to get these people who have not identified themselves or, you know, told me if they can or cannot participate, involved in the process or identify a new representative.
I think, as I'm trying to figure it out as I sit here, I think 10 days from today falls during the Thanksgiving weekend in the United States.
Well,
so
we certainly can do
Monday.
How about the Monday after Thanksgiving then?
That would be fine with me.
Everyone, does that sound like a date that would be doable?
Well,
yeah,
this
no
is
problem.
Back. I'm on trial that Monday and Tuesday. So.
Okay, do you want to do it that Wednesday? Do you think you'll be finished?
Oh, yeah, Wednesday would be fine.
Wednesday after Thanksgiving, let me get to my calendar here.
The 4th.
Is that the 4th of December?
Yes.
Does that look? I mean, we're not going to be able to pick a date with this number of people that is always going to be clear for everyone. I certainly would like to accommodate as many schedules as we can.
Can we do it at this time again?
I would like to do it at this time, but then everyone realizing that for our Asian friends, we might then do the next one at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, given that that's more in their morning time of the next day. Is that all right with everyone? If we do it at 10 o'clock the next time on December 4th at 10 o'clock, that's 1500 UTC, with the understanding that for our people in other hemispheres, we would move the next conference call to a 4 p.m. time slot.
Sure.
No problem. No problem.
That's fine.
December 4th at the same time?
Yes, ma'am.
Scott, in the interim, I will also contact Christopher Toe of the
I've talked to him, and is he the provider for the...
Well, he's sort of the organizer. It's a joint venture between
the
Hong Kong Center and the Beijing
Center. Okay, I have his card.
Uh-huh.
And I sent him a message.
Okay.
Because he approached me in Shanghai, and I was a little confused because his card doesn't identify the same provider that I linked to off the website. So I was a little concerned about making an advance to him.
It's a joint venture project between the Hong Kong Center and the Beijing Center.
Well, since I've already done I can copy you on it, but since I've already sent him this message and then I sent this one out, I'll just forward the message I sent to the Hong Kong office to him and say, in lieu of my earlier message, I want to provide you with a formal invitation.
Very good.
Okay?
All right.
Because I had to get a Names Council resolution in order to expand the task force.
Okay.
And Ethan, I realize, of course, that e-resolutions is no longer in existence, but we still think that that is a valuable input for us because you have experience not only as a panelist and as a scholar that has sort of kept an eye on this particular thing, but you're also were involved with a provider that didn't make it for whatever reason. And that's a perspective that I think it brings valuable insight to the process.
Can I ask, in terms of Eric Wilbers and WIPO,
yes.
Did you send an email directly to
him? I have not sent one directly to him, and I will. I have been doing it by the group emails, but now I'm going to get to where I'm contacting everyone individually. And I would say, Ethan, is it Dr. Jolet?
Well, yeah, I think we could forget about her.
Okay.
She's gone.
All right. Well,
if you want a personal email at the University of Montreal, I can forward that to you so you can contact her just to be sure.
Okay.
Yeah, Jay Scott, if you're having any trouble, I've got the master list.
Okay. All right, everyone, do we have any other business?
Well, this is Ethan. I would like to ask one question.
Sure.
It was my recollection that the survey the questions were designed taking into account the list on the terms of reference.
Right.
So, I mean, I think the terms of reference are still our focus. Maybe I think in drafting the questions there were a couple of additional issues that were that questions were drafted for. Nothing of the type Jeff Newman was talking about.
Right.
But I think the focus still should be, I mean, if you're going to get back to us somehow organized in terms of the issues on the terms of reference, because that's really what we're going to end up.
Yeah, the terms of reference are going to be the terms of reference that are listed in my email, those bullet points. That is what we're going to concentrate on.
Okay.
Those are the things we're going to concentrate on. I think some of those, like even Mike Palacios' comments, we see that you know, that falls into, there's a thing about supplemental rules, well, and those kinds of things, and we can look at that. And the only thing I would be willing to add would be the technical amendments that just because business models have changed this thick registry to thin registry model, and getting the registrars out of the loop on a thick registry model, given that the registry database is considered authoritative, I think that's a good addition.
Well, let me ask you this question, Jay. This is Mike Palage. Can Scott or any of the other providers, is contacting the registrars, is that an important safeguard, or would going to the thick registry database and pulling that information off expedite or enhance the process? I've just put an email out to the list to look at any potential pro or cons Can the providers give me any input of whether they think that's a good idea or a bad idea?
Well, this is Tim Cole, and I can tell you right now that we have difficulty with several of the registrars getting any information whatsoever. But the real question is, what happens to the does the domain name get locked if we don't go directly to the registrar?
Okay, well, that's a subset of the discussion we can have as we get into this. But I think, Mike, we've identified that it is an issue that is important to look into. Okay?
All right, Tim, if you want, maybe I'll just I'll send you an email and try to get your input offline then.
That'd be great.
All
okay.
Right, thanks, Tim.
I want to thank everybody for being here today. I would like to try to keep our telephone conferences, at least with the larger group, down to an hour. If we want to set up, I'd be willing to supply once we divide the division of labor up, I'd be willing to set up conference calls that would group smaller groups together that may have certain projects where they're working together so they don't just have to rely on email. So that's something to keep in mind when we get to the division of labor aspect. I thank everybody for being here today. I thank everyone for sort of directing me into the reality that we find ourselves in so that we can adapt the schedule to fit the realities we find ourselves in. And I look forward to moving forward with each and every one of you. Thank you for being here today, and we'll talk to you on the 4th.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Do you want
to stay on or do you want to come back? Hey, Scott?
Caroline?